This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
As part of the Community Waikato podcast series, you're listening to Roseanne Murray, and I have with me in the studio today Tim Bray. Tim is the team lead at Foundation Community Participation, which is a part of the Aspire Community Support. Welcome, Tim.
Well, thanks, Roseanne.
Great to have you here with us today. So how about we start off with you telling us all about Foundation Community Participation?
Well, Foundation was born out of a need to... when we saw people with disabilities and intellectual disabilities in particular, that they would tend to be stuck in a rut, but they're capable of so much more than they were showing at the moment, whether that be stuck at home on their phones with their family and whānau would come around and say, well, look, we need to get you out doing something. But they just really didn't know what was happening. Mm-hmm. So that was really the genesis of all of this. Right. It was our CE at Aspire. They run a lot of houses that support people in residential care for disabilities and also supported living. So when Foundation was born, we developed programs that teach everyday life skills from cooking to making coffees to employment to horticulture, all of those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And in addition to the life skills, we're teaching confidence, we're teaching resilience, we're teaching communication, we're teaching them how to be a good mate and actually how to have mates. In terms of the employment, we're getting people out in the community. We're taking them on tours of workplaces so they can see really what's out there.
Yeah. When we were talking offline, you were just telling me a story about people learning how to utilise the bus get from A to B.
Yes.
That was a fantastic story around resilience and actually getting them to, you know, have that confidence to be able to eventually take the trip on their own.
Well, that actually was a great story, and it's kind of wasn't, if there was a poster child for our program, this man wouldn't be it.
Right.
But he was the quiet achiever, but he didn't come to us like that. Mm-hmm. In fact, he came to us, his support workers were saying, we're really having trouble getting this guy out of bed in the morning. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have a shower. Right. He wouldn't kind of get up. He'd stay on his phone and been a bit of a grump. Mm-hmm. Over a period of a couple of weeks, he finally made the choice to come down and just check us out. It took a little bit longer, but he did come down. He was dropped off in a car to and from, learned a few skills like cooking and things, mm-hmm. Which he did enjoy. Well, part of the end of the cooking programs is we sit down and eat together. So he did actually enjoy the social aspect of it and wanted to come again. Now, he still really didn't want to catch the bus. He still wasn't independent. So we actually started a program for him, and it was called Explore. And what we would do is, as a group of six people, plus a facilitator, we'd pick a destination of the city. Now, whether that was the new BNZ Theatre, whether that was MAID, they've just got back from MAID today.
Oh, right.
The Hamilton Gardens, the Rotunda Library, all places like that, places that as community members we'd love to get out and about. Mm. And we all go on the transit app. We say, right, how are we going to get there, guys? So they all figure down and they brainstorm how they're going to get there. We jump on the bus, we work out the transfers. If we miss a stop, we don't stop them. They miss a stop. Now, some of them had to run a lot to make transfers, but that's just part of life.
It is, yeah, totally.
And we say, well, how are we going to figure that out? So it's actually they're leading it, they're teaching one another's, and they're learning resilience. Now, in saying that, we do have our van on standby, just in case it all turns to custard. Mm-hmm. And we've been doing that for quite some time. In fact, we have just received a grant last week or the week before from Kinetic to mm-hmm. expand the program to more people, which is fantastic. But as it went further, this guy I'm talking about got more and more confident, and he just turned up one morning at 7:30. Now, this is a 9:30 program it starts.
Right.
He turned up at 7:30 because he got out of bed early, couldn't wait to get on the bus by himself. I nearly fell off my chair.
Oh, it sounds like such a great story, isn't it? Yeah.
But that's happening. We've probably had 10 or 15 people like that that are just turning up. And it's not, we're not pushing them. We're not saying, okay, now it's time to jump on the bus by yourself. They're just doing it. And it's something that we're really proud about. Well, we're actually proud when we see people doing that for themselves. And that's really puts fuel in the tank, I suppose, for us.
Yeah, you sort of feel like, you know, you're the parent or the big brother or big sister, you know, that you've proud of your little sibling who's now learning to ride a bike sort of thing, you know.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And then seeing them get out and about in the community by themselves and experience stuff that like we just take for granted.
Great. If you ever needed to measure the success of your program, that's a fantastic way of doing it, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that is there at 7:30. And I love the concept of, you know, not saying to them, oops, you've missed the stop, quick, we've got to stop, get off the bus, because, you know, the growth is quite often when you're in your outside your comfort zone, and also you learn by mistakes, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. And, and it's not about, I don't think characters isn't built in the good times. Mm. It's built in those hard times and the pressure times. We're there to support them. We're there to kind of show them what's next if that's needed. But we're not the first ones to jump in and rescue people, because, you know, a lot of people are being supported for good reasons, but they've been rescued all the time. It's time to learn a bit of independence.
That's right. And you see that so often. Sometimes, you know, people are sort of like very sheltered and everything's done for them. So don't have to make decisions themselves or maybe just don't get that confidence to be able to go out there and catch the bus or whatever else it might be.
It's actually an interesting point, Rosa, because one of our other programs, the Giving Back, I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm sick, it's all about me.
That might be a gender thing.
It could be. But it's all about me. And I have this blanket I kind of all just want to hide underneath, and everyone can serve me. And I've discovered and I've seen in this sector that it's kind of more of a human nature thing. I've found that when people are supported a lot, sometimes it can be more self-absorbed. Mm-hmm. Now, not in a bad way. It's just a human nature way that we all feel that. So we've started a program also on a Friday called Giving Back. Mm-hmm. So one of those things about building independence is not realizing, going, well, what's in it for me? What can I get? What can everything else? What interests me? Is saying, well, look, joy comes from giving to other people. Mm. So we pick out of a list of community organizations in the Waikato. We pick one. Oh, well, they pick one. We bake some cookies. We deliver them to them. And they all have to have their little script. And they say, look, thanks for what you do. We really appreciate what you do. And then we come back and we have a barbecue lunch. Because that's the social part as well, too. So that's sort of all those little ways of having independence and social connection. And
I think that's such a great initiative, actually. Mm. I think more people should be looking at doing that in the giving back.
Yeah.
You do see one or two, sort of businesses, they'll go out and, do a morning tea shout or something like that for all the great mahi that's been done out there. But I think that's fantastic for them to be learning those skill sets. Yeah.
Yeah. So we do things like that. A lot of the push we do get with families, especially because we're funded by MSD, is while we're not an employment provider, there is that thing that say these people would like to move on to employment. Mm. We also realise that from a day service or an activity-based service to an employment type of program, there's a big gap there. And just because someone says they'd like a job doesn't necessarily mean they're ready for the job. We have some great employers out there, but still got to earn their keep as well too, stand on their own 2 feet. So that's really what we do, is try and narrow down that, what does a job look like? So every 3 weeks we go on a tour of a workplace, and there are a lot of good businesses out there that just open their doors for us. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I call, I have to pare back my calls because I'm booked out now to the end of October. People are just saying yes. And what we do is we turn up, they give us a tour for about 20 minutes, half an hour, talk about all the ins and outs of a job. We ask questions. And then they come away thinking, yeah, it's something I could be doing or worth exploring. Or sometimes it's a no, which is really cool because it just kind of releases that cognitive load. People are freed up to think about things that they really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's really great. So, are you able to give us any examples of some of the types of work that some of these young people have gone into?
Oh, for sure. So, in terms of our tours, and that's really where it starts. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's about gauging interest because, we can find jobs. And they're hard to come by, but we can find jobs. But we don't want to push people where they don't want to go.
No.
That's not cool to start with. So what we do is we do a lot of these tours, and we've been to places like Bunnings, Mighty 10 Mega. We've been to, we're coming up to Fastlane Fitness soon. We have been to Fully Equipped, a whole heap of places.
Yep.
And they're really, really good people that have showed a lot of, you know, our people a lot of things. After that, when we find the interest, I'll give one of our other stories is a lot of our people would like to work in cafe or customer service, mm-hmm. but they're not quite ready for that technical, like making coffee, for example, and serving customers at the same time.
Yep.
So we will teach them how to make coffee at our place. We've got a nice espresso sort of set up there, which is we eat very well. We drink good coffee.
Very good.
And when they show enough interest there, we've partnered with another company that's fantastic, which is Foster's Construction.
Mm-hmm.
They have a wonderful heart, and not a plug for Foster's, but they have a wonderful heart.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And they have a rather bougie cafe espresso machine out the front of their headquarters. We go out there on a Thursday morning, and we'll make coffees for their staff and coffees for their clients. All their staff, they used to start out talking to me. Now they start talking, bypassing me and talking to all our people that come out and make them coffee. They sit down, have a chat with them. And it's, while it's not seen on the day, when I do get back, the pride that comes with the work that they're doing, that's really made a difference in their confidence.
Yeah, that sounds such a cool initiative and big plug to Foster's Construction.
Yep.
Why not? Because I think quite often people will they may have an intellectual disability they're not going to be able to converse with me or anything like that. So they'll just be out over here, like
absolutely.
As if they become invisible, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's so great to hear that the staff out there have embraced them and having those conversations with them.
And it's actually, I was talking to them, Foster's, last week, and I just got some feedback saying, look, are there some good things or bad things? I'd love feedback so we can kind of tailor things. And he actually said, no, the staff were actually very proud that they were supporting things. It was actually a pride thing there too, which was fantastic. Because it does cost their time and their effort and having other people there, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's sort of part of that, what they call social good, isn't it?
Yeah,
being
absolutely,
able to give back in a sort of a contra type of way.
Mm.
And I think that's it's fantastic, and it's really great that they've been able to progress from, you know, more just the learning to make coffees, you know, at your place, which they're familiar with, but to now actually go out into the big wide world as such.
Absolutely,
And to be making coffees for people that they've not met before, and the interaction with those people as well, isn't it?
No, yeah. Absolutely. And past Foster's, because that's kind of a work experience type environment, if there is a real definite interest and they're ready, because they can go through a couple of cycles with us and Foster's again if they need that help, is then we'd look at other work experience where they can do it on their own. With other companies that we know quite a few companies that could do this.
Yeah.
And if that was the case, that they're ready for employment, we have other providers so that are specialised just in employment because they have a lot more supported resources around the supported.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have a transition with themselves, the employers and their whānau and everyone else so that these people that come to us are taken care of long after they've gone into work as well too.
Yep. Okay. You mentioned before about learning to cook. You do sort of some sort of cooking classes for them
absolutely,
as well?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so do you have like a kitchen set up there?
We've got we do have a kitchen set up, but it would be one that you would see at home.
Right, yeah, which is probably good.
Absolutely, yeah. My background was hospitality back in the day, washing dishes, starting off, and coming through the kitchens. And I realised that there's a couple of type of people we see. You know, food is fuel and food is relationship.
Mm.
And we really want to encourage that relationship, that connection over food as well. So We teach them basic recipes. So think Edmund's Cookbook.
Yes.
That's our one of our staples. And we'll look at the cookbook. We will, as a group, what's in the pantry, what's not, how can we use up leftovers, of course. We'll then go shopping together because another story as a side off shoot of that would be one of our guys, when they come first of all to shopping, didn't want to use a trolley because he always hit mum in the back of the heels with the thing. And you can be the trolley guy today.
Right.
And he's progressed up and now he's going out and getting ingredients for himself. So progress.
Real progress. Yeah. And I love the fact that teaching them how to use leftovers. That's an art I think all households could actually.
No, absolutely. And success for us in cooking is, yes, they learn these skills, but it's really when we hear back from houses and families where they've gone home and they've cooked a meal at home.
Mm.
And we give them the recipes to take home, and then they go, look at what I cooked.
Mm.
That, for us, is success.
Oh.
And that's really what we want to transfer that to them as well, too.
Yeah, true. So if someone was looking at, you know, maybe one of their whānau members, that would be really beneficial for them to come along and be a part of one of the services that you do provide. How do they go about that?
Well, first of all, it's just to reach out with us.
Mm-hmm.
So either Aspire, and aspire.org.nz would be the main connection, or one of our phone numbers. And they'd put you through to Foundation. Fill out a form, and it's not a big long form, but it's just a form to say, hey, contact us, and I'd give you a call the next day. Other people can refer, other providers they're with, Work and Income can refer, pretty much any way you want to do.
Yep.
You don't have to be on Work and Income to actually come to us.
Right.
It can be a self-referral, as long as you're over 18, you're a New Zealand resident, permanent resident. And there's a couple of conditions there, but we can talk about that later.
Mm-hmm.
But we also want to make this process as easy as possible because we know in the, people with a intellectual or a disability, it can be hard. And getting the right choice is really important to us. So we have a bit of a chat. We say, look, just come down and check us out. No paperwork. Nothing else. Just come down and have a look around. Have a bit of a chat with me. We'll give you a tour of the place. Go away, have a think about it. If you're really interested, look, let's pick a session for you to sit in on. No signing up, just have a go. And if that's the case, then we'll sit down and work out what are your goals, what are your plans, and how can we support you? As opposed to go, here's our program, you fit here. No, we want to take it the other way.
Right, so it sort of, in a way, becomes a bit of a bespoke service for them, really, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, that's really encouraging to hear, and the fact that you don't have to sign up to something straight away, that you can come and observe a couple of times, just feel a little bit more confident.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And is there a cost factor involved for them?
No, zero.
No, because it's all paid for?
It's all paid for, which is probably one of the things we found most surprising. Mm. One of the fun hours, I go, what?
Yeah.
Where's the catch? No, there's no. We're fully funded.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic to hear, actually, because it's quite a struggle out there at the moment, isn't
absolutely.
It? So great to hear that that service has been fully funded for our people. And so is there a certain catchment, you know, is it mainly Hamilton-based? Has he got people from outside of Hamilton? How does that work?
Mainly Hamilton-based, although we do have a few people that travel a bit further than that. Mm-hmm. It's really, can they get to us?
Yes.
Because to get to us, we do want them to be independent. So the expectation is that they are able to get to us and back. Whether that's through a support worker or by themselves, that's quite up to them. Mainly in the Waikato, as I mentioned before, as long as they're over 18. Although we're still working with people with schools and really planning that transition when they do turn 18 as well.
Right. Okay. That's really good to hear. Some fantastic services that you are providing and some good stories. But I'm sure you must have another couple of stories that you can tell us about one or two of the young people that you're supporting out there.
Oh, absolutely. That was put me on the spot, but I do.
I know, I have. I love putting people on the spot,
actually. I love those stories.
Yeah.
No, I do have one guy who comes along, and again, it's another bus, and we're finding that it's not just a one-time event.
Mm-hmm.
He is, and a kind of an ask at the end of it, really, if I may. He came to us and he was really nervous on the bus. He just would not travel. He's now independent. He's getting everywhere by himself. He's another one that turns up at 7:30 on the frost in the frosty morning. Our guys are pretty keen after they're hooked in for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted a job, but still didn't know what he wanted.
Yeah.
So we put him out at Pukiti Neighbourhood House. We've got a good relationship with them, and he's Taya, their operations manager, has actually called him. He's our Monday morning reset guy.
Uh-huh.
He resets everything. He cleans everything. He picks up rubbish. He does the whole lot faithfully every Monday. Gets there to and from every Monday. Doesn't miss a beat.
That's a great story to hear about. And, our friends at Pukiti Neighbourhood House, great bunch out there.
People.
Teo and Scott and the rest of the team out there.
Mm. Yeah. So he's going back. We're actually actively looking now for probably a place in a rest home, somewhere like that, for 2 or 3 hours a week for him to actually work. And that's actively where we're looking for him now, because he is ready, not for full time,
yep,
but he is ready and he is interdependent. And we found actually, as part of our programs, we do expose people gradually to what it's like in the real world, mm-hmm, still with support, where the stakes aren't as high. And as you're saying, he's been volunteering for close on 3 months, maybe a bit longer now.
Mm-hmm.
He's proven himself. And we go, okay, now your time.
And I think that, for a lot of people, they just want an opportunity, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
To initially volunteer.
Mm.
And then potentially, may lead to a part-time role somewhere. A sense of belonging, like
absolutely,
all of us, have that sort of sense of what that belonging is, and builds a new work family.
Mm. No, absolutely.
Yeah, which I think we all take for granted, really, don't we?
No, yeah, absolutely. And I think we're all the same stuff. We've all got our different challenges. We've all got our histories. We've all got everything else. We're all the same stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that's really what they want people to see.
Yeah, most definitely. And it's just so great to hear that, now that they feel like they've got something to get out of bed for in the morning. And not only 9:30 start, but a 7:30 start. And as you say, on these lovely frosty mornings as well.
No, absolutely. And that's really the thing that surprises me a lot, is that people actually, they come earlier.
Yep.
Usually when you're in terms of thinking about job interviews and stuff, you don't turn up too early. These people turn up an hour and a half early, and it's not because of some social unawareness, but it's just because they are so keen.
Yeah.
And that's their heart.
Yeah. And the last thing they want to do is be late, so they'll just make sure they're extra early.
Absolutely. And they will turn up, and they will turn up faithfully, and
right,
that's what it is.
Okay. So if someone's listening to our show or the podcast at a later date, and they are maybe a small organisation or even a larger organisation, and are going, we probably could look at, providing an opportunity for someone to come along, and whether it's initially to volunteer or maybe to work a few hours a week, who do they contact?
Again, through myself, through Aspire. And for us, when we do, it could be as little as a workplace tour.
Mm-hmm.
For us, there's no expectation to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
We know the pressures. And we know that people on the whole love to give. But there are limits, of course, depending on what the business thinks. So we say, look, it might just be a tour. And that's fantastic. We're really appreciative. It might be a work experience. It might be a part-time job. All of the above, like it could be anything,
yeah.
But there's no pressure from us to do one or the other. And I think what I found is some of the people I have called are just that little bit cynical because they've been pressured in the past. And I get that.
Yeah.
And I'd be pretty handy myself if that was the case. So we've just decided to be, look, we just appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, what will be.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So no pressure out there, listeners, but, if you think that you've got an opportunity out there for a young person to come and volunteer or maybe even move into a part-time sort of role with your organisation, just need to get on the phone or email Tim and go onto the website, which is aspire.org.nz.
It is, yep.
And you'll be able to find Tim's contact details there.
Mm.
to hear more about how you can support
our people
out there. Hey, that's really great. Look, we've only got a couple more minutes to go. There must be one more little gem that you'd like to impart on our listeners or anything like that as we go through. Right, so you've got one more little sort of, success story that you'd like to share with us.
Yeah, and I think it's, well, it actually wasn't a success story, really, but it's just part of the resilience and support. I mentioned earlier about the buses and how we teach independence and how the van's on standby. One of the things we do with all of our participants, we say, right, program our numbers into your phone. And we do the same thing as well, just in case you come into us and so good, something happens.
Good risk management, yes.
Yeah, and so we actually got a call from a couple of ladies that are on our program that they were at Rotokari Bus Depot.
By the base,
yes. Why are you there? It wasn't actually on the way to us, but they actually took the wrong bus and they went out. And they're just sitting out there. We're there in 10 minutes.
Right.
Just sit there. We'll pick you up. We'll drop you in. And on the way back, it's really, there's a lot of guilt and a lot of shame, a lot of everything else that goes with that. And we just, part of our program, the way we do things is like, it just happens. That's life. Things happen. And you miss appointments, you miss things. We all do it. It's just an everyday part of life.
Sure is. I mean, you think about if you're driving somewhere and you feel like you're on autopilot and you've actually turned the wrong direction. Sometimes if I'm meant to be heading home and you're meant to be dropping someone off before you head home, I've actually started heading home, forgetting that I've even got the person in the car with me. So those things easily happen, don't they?
And that's us. And we just sort of stick.
It's human.
Yeah, we just put their favourite song on the, we have a foundation playlist.
Right.
So whenever they're in the van, everyone gets to pick a favourite song. So we just put their favourite song on just to kind of go, okay, hey, chill, it's okay.
Yeah, just to calm everyone down. Hey, great initiative for them to actually ring you, wasn't it?
Oh, for sure.
For them to know that they've got your phone in the your number in their phone and to ring you.
And that's, I guess, our whole philosophy is we're here to serve others, like our participants, the employers, the whānau. It's how can we support you the best?
Yeah.
Because we know that as an organisation, our joy comes from seeing when others succeed, not from us ticking some sort of arbitrary box.
All right. Hey, those are great stories and really appreciate hearing all about the Foundation Community Participation and Aspire itself. So thank you, Tim, for coming in.
Oh, thank you.
Really appreciate it. It's been a real eye-opener for me and I hope it has for everyone that's been listening to us as well. So once again, thank you very much, Tim. Really appreciate you coming in and talking to me today. Ka kite.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.